G'day and welcome to Law Matters for another fortnight. Jody Hoffman with you for the next hour, and I hope you can stay with us. Coming up this hour, we're going to be meeting the receptionist of the Aboriginal Legal Service head office in Perth, a woman by the name of Delaney Atkinson. A great woman. I'm sure you're going to enjoy meeting her, and it's always important here on our program that we give you a greater insight into some of the people working with the ALS at any office throughout the state. And looking forward to having a chat with Delaney a little later on this hour. Before that, though, we're going to be talking about consumer protection and what assistance is available for Aboriginal communities throughout the state, and scams, a really big issue in many, well, not just metropolitan areas, but also regional areas. And we're going to be having a chat with Annetta Bellingeri from the Department of Commerce. That's coming up. It is Noongar Radio, and the ALS, very happy to bring this program to you every fortnight. And to the program right now, let's welcome Annette Bellingeri, the Senior Regional Officer of the Kimberley Consumer Protection Department of Commerce here in WA. Annetta, thanks for your time on the program.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Now, before we kick off with some important information about how the Department of Commerce can assist people and talking about some specific scams that are making their way around, let's talk about where you're sitting right now. What part of the state are you in?
I'm actually sitting up in Broome right now on the bay here, which is lovely. We've got an office based in Broome that looks after the Kimberley, but we also have offices in Karratha, in Geraldton, in Kalgoorlie, Albany and Bunbury. So we've got offices all around the state there to help people with any sorts of issues that they're having around consumer type problems.
All right, so it is consumer protection through the Department of Commerce. Obviously, many of our listeners throughout the state are Aboriginal, but we have a lot of non-Aboriginal audience members as well. So let's talk about what is consumer protection and how it can assist consumers.
Well, consumer protection is part of the Department of Commerce, and it's about promoting a fair trading environment in WA. There's a number of ways that we do this. We provide free advice to consumers and businesses, tenants and landlords. They can ring up and ask any questions that they might have, find out where they stand. We also take complaints, so we will conciliate disputes between consumers and traders, tenants and landlords. And we can also take action against businesses in certain circumstances. We also license some businesses like motor vehicle dealers and repairers, real estate agents, and debt collectors, and we also develop legislation to protect consumers. So there's a few different things that we do in relation to promoting that fair trading environment and protecting consumers.
And we do know from previous discussions here on the radio and calls that we get at the Aboriginal Legal Service that there are a lot of unscrupulous operators there who do target vulnerable people in our communities. Many Aboriginal people are targeted with scams. Hey.
Absolutely. Everybody is actually targeted by scams, but we do see particular ones that will target Aboriginal people. And they're very insidious. They usually run from overseas by organised crime gangs. So you're up against it, really, and you're pretty vulnerable in that sort of position, particularly in regional and remote areas. Consumers are even more vulnerable than they are in the cities because there's that lack of choice, a lack of competition. There might not be a lot of information or knowledge about what your rights are. And obviously, there's fewer consumer protection workers available. So whilst there are fewer of us, we work very closely with community organisations, money management teams and legal services as well to assist people.
We should mention as well, Annetta, that it's not just scams that are targeting people, but people, you know, there is now knowledge and information available for people to find out about, you know, what are your rights when you're out shopping or buying a car or getting it repaired or renting a house, or what do you do with that persistent door-to-door seller that keeps banging on the door, or big ticket items. I know that there was a scam last year that saw an elderly couple go overseas. Do you remember that one?
And there's been quite a few where we've seen, and it's very concerning when people do go overseas, but we've seen a lot of losses. We've had a gentleman in the Kimberley lose over $380,000 to a fraud as well. So we do see some really big losses, but we see some smaller ones as well for Aboriginal people being targeted with particular scams, for instance, the one we're going to chat about, which is Diva's Chat. So we're always trying to develop publications, videos, songs, resources, audio series, all sorts of things to try and get that message out there. I'll also mention to people that there's also a Facebook page, particularly for Aboriginal consumers, called Ask Us, with links to lots of useful information. So you might want to check that out as well.
All right, so we'll give out all the contact info at the end of this interview if people do want to find out more information about scams and their rights and just making safer choices generally. How many calls, is it usual that people ring up you and ask for advice? Is that the way it works?
It's very, very common. Sometimes that's all that people want. They just want a little bit of help to know where they stand. So they tell you what the situation is, whether it's to do with buying a car or a house they're renting, and they're happy enough once you've given them the information to go along and resolve issues themselves. Sometimes things might be a little bit more complicated, or people might want a little bit more help, or perhaps they're not getting anywhere with trying to negotiate with the business or their landlord. So in those situations, they can lodge a complaint. We're happy to help them do that. We'll look at all the facts and then we'll try and negotiate a fair settlement on their behalf.
Do you find, Anetta, that people are getting targeted more in regional areas?
Not necessarily. People are being targeted all over. We do see some things that are particular to regional areas. That's why it's so helpful if people do ring us. We can give you that advice, but it also helps us to build a picture of what's actually going on out there, whether it's unscrupulous traders or a particular issue that we might need to look at as well.
All right, very keen to chat about one scam, which is Divas Chat. Tell us what it is.
Basically, this scam is targeting people in Aboriginal communities through Divas Chat. So Divas Chat is a social media sort of networking facility that you can use. All you need is a Telstra mobile phone and your 3G coverage. So it's very popular for people in remote communities where sometimes other forms of communication are limited. And we've heard from three people who lost money through lottery type scams. So what was happening, people were being told that they'd won a prize, and they were seeing fake feedback from other family members and other contacts as well who'd had their profiles hacked. So people thought they were actually entitled to this prize, and they'd have to send money away to process the prize, basically. One woman lost $3,000, but we heard of someone else who lost between $6,000 and $7,000. Obviously, it's concerning when people are sending money away, but it's not just your money that can be stolen, it's your identity. So there's other information that you might have online that could embarrass you or put you at risk of harm as well. So it really pays to be very safe when you're using these types of social media networks, and just be aware that those scammers are out there.
It's concerning, isn't it? Because you said that there was other feedback from almost satisfied customers, but that was fake as well.
It was. So the scammers had obtained passwords and left themselves fake feedback. So it looked like other people had actually got their prize or their money, where in fact it was just, it was not the case at all. But this is quite a common type of scam where you get offered a hook, if you like, whether it's money or an investment opportunity or what have you. But you always have to send money to receive money, which is immediately where you know that it's going to be a scam.
Okay, I'm talking to Anetta Ballingeri, the Senior Regional Officer of the Kimberley Consumer Protection Department of Commerce here in WA. Is that the key point then, Anetta, that if people are requesting money up front, it's probably something that's not on the level?
Well, definitely. If you're sending money overseas, particularly by wire transfer, that's definitely a red flag. You should never be sending money to receive money. Also, we've heard of different types of scams using legitimate government departments and organisations as a cover. They don't require you to send money away overseas to receive Centrelink benefits that might have been underpaid, or a refund from the tax office and the like. But it's really important with things like social media that you use strong passwords. Don't let anyone use your account. Check your privacy settings. Don't accept people as a friend if you've never seen them face to face and you don't know who they are. And just be really careful about what you post as well in terms of your personal information, like your date of birth, your address, anything about your daily routine, your holiday plans, children's schools. All of that makes you and your family vulnerable.
And I guess smartphones as well, because that's pinpointing your exact location as well, isn't it?
Definitely. Tells the whole world where you are.
Okay, so look, there's some good advice for people. So that's Divas Chat scam. Is that still up and running as far as you're aware?
We haven't had any recent calls about it, but it was really fantastic that people did contact us because we were able to warn a lot of other people about it. Sometimes it's hard to get information out to communities that are very remote and out in regional areas if we don't know what's happening out there. So it was lovely that people came forward and we were able to warn other people, and hopefully that means that people won't be taken advantage of in this way in the future.
And I guess a good rule of thumb is if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. But we have to be so careful these days, don't we? I mean, we live in a world surrounded by information technology, and I guess, you know, all people, and in particular a lot of our young people, need to know that once something's up on the internet, it stays.
It definitely does. So if you're sending photos of yourself or clicking on links that are suspicious, well, you're really opening yourself up to all sorts of different things. So it's really worthwhile being safe online. If someone has logged into your account and pretended to be you, report it to the social networking service provider. If you've seen someone doing something that might be a crime, like making threats to hurt someone or posting sexual comments or pictures, you should also tell the police. And look after other people online. If you're worried about online behaviour that involves any type of criminal activity, you can call Crime Stoppers as well. And talk to family and friends to share the warning so that people know that this is out there, that this does go on.
So important for our listeners to know that there is a lot of information available these days. We'll give you the number for the Department of Commerce at the end of this segment, but you can also call WA ScamNet on 1300 304054. What I actually did today, Anetta, was I was looking at your website, and I set up something so that I would receive scam alerts. There's a link on your website where you can, you know, opt in to actually be advised if there's particular scams going around in particular areas in WA, because it's good to be informed, isn't it?
It's definitely good to be informed. The WA ScamNet website has a lot of resources on there. It explains how the different types of scams work and also gives you some tips on fighting back. You can also sign up to alerts, as you mentioned. We also have alerts for things like FuelWatch that you can sign up to. You can follow the department on Twitter, on Facebook, and you can also ring us if you want advice on particular issues. So there's a lot of information that we try and put out there for people to be able to access.
And the thing is that the internet, I mean, people can hide behind a code name or say they're one person and be someone completely different. And if any of that sort of online behaviour is leading to sexual exploitation or any other sort of criminal activity, then Crime Stoppers is the place to call on 1800 333 000, 1800 333 000. And the bottom line is just being really, really careful about what information you're providing to another person who you don't actually know. Anetta, I want to talk to you about another area of the work that you came across, and that was something called I Love My Water. What was that?
Well, back in 2011, in Broome here, we received reports of a sales team that was visiting the Kimberley and the Pilbara, and consumers lodged complaints with the department because they hadn't understood the terms and conditions of their contracts. They were subjected to high-pressure sales tactics and they weren't in a financial position to fulfil their obligations under the contract. Under the Australian Consumer Law, if anyone comes to your house and door knocks, you get a 10-day calling-off period to think over any of those door-to-door sales, and they can't take any payment during that time. You can cancel without any penalty if you wish. We were able to get the contract cancelled and the money refunded, which was good, but we referred the cases to ASIC because it appeared that the door-to-door sales representatives were offering credit when they weren't licensed credit providers. So ASIC investigated and found that Home Essentials Australia, I Love My Water, and a couple of other businesses were selling these water coolers and first aid kits on these rent-to-own type agreements. There were 16,000 consumers around Australia who signed these contracts. And the businesses have entered into what we call an enforceable undertaking with those companies. So they've agreed that they're going to stop collecting payments owed by customers under existing agreements. They'll allow customers to keep goods they were renting with no further payments. And they'll refund customers who didn't get their rental goods. So we're estimating it's about $100,000 in refunds. In addition to that, they're going to make a $250,000 payment to be split equally between the Pilbara Community Legal Service and the Indigenous Consumer Assistance Network, ICAN, and the money will be used to educate and advise consumers on their on financial products and dealing with financial service providers. So that's a really good outcome there, but it's important for people to know that there is help out there. Get in contact with us. We can try and cancel those contracts in the first instance, but we might be able to take further action down the track to try and prevent other people being taken advantage of as well.
Gosh, it's a bit more complex these days, isn't it, Anita? I mean, once upon a time it was just, you know, the odd encyclopedia, door-to-door sales or vacuum cleaners. It's very complex and intricate now, isn't it?
It is, but the department has a sticker that you can get from us. It's a Do Not Knock sticker. You can put that on your door if you don't want to be contacted by door-to-door sellers, and it will actually be an offence for them to then knock on your door. So if you want to get one of those stickers, feel free to contact the department. Just be aware that they can't pressure you. Take your time to think over these types of deals. See if it's actually worth your while, and know what your payments are going to be over time, because the total payment might be quite significant, whereas if you're breaking it down into a monthly payment, it might not look like much. Also, be really careful of contracts that you don't understand. Get someone else to explain them to you, and make sure that you don't end up paying more than you would.
Did you say, Anita, that if you have those stickers on your door, it's actually illegal for somebody to knock on your door and try to sell you something?
That's right. So there was a ruling made that it would be unlawful to do that. So people can put those stickers up there. If it's maybe hard for you to say no or tell people to go away, that's just another thing that you can have there. That's not going to prevent people knocking on your door for charitable purposes.
Okay.
But it will be door-to-door sellers.
All right. And people can contact you and get those stickers sent out to them, can they?
Yeah, they're more than welcome to do that. We also have them online, so you can print them out.
Brilliant. Okay, let's have a scam of the week. What have you got for us?
I've got romance fraud this week because it's been a huge topic in the media recently. Consumer Protection WA ScamNet works very closely with the WA Police Major Fraud Squad. We've got Project Sunbird. And what that does is it tracks people sending money at the moment to West Africa, so Nigeria, Ghana, Togo, Benin. When people have been identified as sending money to organised criminals in those countries, they receive a letter. Luckily, about 60% of senders will stop sending after the first letter. But if not, they get a second letter, and if they continue to send money, then they may get a home visit, and it will be explained to them that they're actually participating in a fraud. Romance fraud is particularly nasty. It takes advantage of people who are vulnerable. Victims are groomed over a long period of time, and eventually you'll be asked to send money for business deals, sick family members, tickets, visas, and the like. The money is usually sent by wire transfer, which is like cash. It can't be retrieved. But we've also seen it going to bank accounts and to money mules that are operating in Australia. Good news today, hot off the press, a WA romance fraud victim managed to get some of her money back, which is a first. Project Sunbird's been working with the Nigerian authorities, and a man's been arrested in relation to her fraud. But usually people can't recover the money. And we had a recent case in Broome where a gentleman lost $380,000 to this romance fraud. Oh. So it's a pretty nasty fraud, big money involved. And the rule of thumb is if you're sending money to someone you've met online, it's very likely you're the victim of a romance fraud. And they would be representing themselves with fake phone numbers. It's easy enough to do that. Fake photographs, fake ID documents. Skype can be faked. They'll pay people to come in and pretend to be the person that you're dealing with. All of that can be faked. So you need to be very, very vigilant.
So they're pretending to be the love interest, are they?
Absolutely. So they'll contact people on dating websites or on social media and entice them into a relationship with them. They'll usually be targeting vulnerable people, maybe people who've recently had a relationship end or been widowed or lonely. They'll spend the time to get to know people, know their likes, and then basically manipulate them into sending money.
So this isn't a quick scam. This is a relationship of trust that's built up over some time so that person does actually feel comfortable to give them money.
It does, and it can be very, very difficult for people who are participating in romance frauds to believe that it has happened, and for this person that they've been in contact with to actually be an organised crime member in a country overseas as opposed to the person that they think it is. And we see photographs that are used multiple times in multiple frauds, and they're photos that have been taken off the internet of people who are not related to the scam at all, but they'll use their photos. So we, for instance, see a lot of American soldiers' photos being used. That's one of the favoured types of scams, but there's all sorts of different ones. So really, if somebody asks you for money, be very, very careful. Don't accept friend requests from people you don't know. Don't move off dating sites, because that's typically what scammers will want you to do, so that they can manipulate you more, and they'll try and isolate you from family and friends as well. So get in touch with WA ScamNet. There is help available. There are support agencies that are out there, because it can be very, very devastating to victims to find out that they have been deceived.
Well, and whether it's $1,000 or $380,000, like the poor man up in Broome, it's any amount of money to be scammed is too much, isn't it?
It is, and what people need to realise is that this money is going to organised crime, and they're making a huge amount of money. We were estimating between $500,000 and $1 million leaving WA every month. That's just to West Africa alone. That's not to any other scammers in the rest of the world. So it's very, very lucrative for them, and people do need to be vigilant, and we're working with Nigerian authorities through the WA Police Major Fraud on trying to stop some of these scams from going forward. But in the meantime, we need to warn people that they are out there, and if they can get in contact with us, we can assist them.
And also warn people that it's not just overseas countries that are responsible for these scams. The scams can be, you know, generating from the suburb next to us, can't they?
They can do. We do sometimes see money mules involved in scams. So people would be offered employment where you receive money into your bank account and you forward it on after keeping yourself a small fee. That's the way that organised crime gangs launder their money. Basically, it's unlawful to do that. So if you've been contacted with one of those employment offers, that is also a scam, and you are doing something that is unlawful. So be very careful of that.
And it had been really interesting to chat with you today on our program. Thank you for all of that great advice that you've given us. Want to give out a couple of numbers. First, I want to let both individuals and organisations know how they can get hold of some of the material and the information that you've got that can guide them into making safer choices.
The department's phone number is 1300 30 40 54. That's the phone number for businesses, for consumers, for landlords, for tenants, for anybody to get advice. That will also put you through to WA ScamNet if you're wanting to report a scam or wanting assistance with a scam. We also have regional offices in each of the regions. So, for instance, the Pilbara, the Kimberley, the Midwest. We've got an office in Kalgoorlie and in the Southwest as well. So you can contact them directly. The department's website is full of information there on all your rights. You can also have a look at the information that's specifically for Aboriginal consumers. So there's lots of pages there on resources and advice. You can also follow the department on Facebook and Twitter. There's the Ask Us website, which is specifically for Aboriginal consumers. And you can also send emails through to us. So have a look at all the contact details on the website, and feel free to get in touch with us.
Thanks so much for talking with us today on Noongar Radio, and some great advice from you. And it'd be great to touch base with you on a more regular basis, Annetta, and just keep highlighting the scams that are out there in the community, and have a scam of the week from time to time, just to keep people informed that they do have rights, and it's important to do our best to get through every day without being a scam, without being scammed, because they're everywhere, hey?
They are definitely everywhere, and knowing what your rights are is a great way to feel empowered in the decisions that you make as well. But that's why we're here. We don't expect you to know everything about everything, so we're happy to give you the advice on your particular situation that you're facing or questions that you have, and just use some of those resources, particularly if you're going out to buy a car or what have you. We've got great resources there for you.
Brilliant. Annette Bellingeri, thank you for your time. We'll speak to you again before too long.
Thank Thank you. Bye.
Bye now. Annette Bellingeri is the Senior Regional Officer of the Kimberley Consumer Protection Department of Commerce here in Western Australia with some great advice. Their website address again is www.commerce.wa.gov.au. You're listening to Law Matters, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Jodie Hoffman with you this hour. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to be chatting with Delaney Atkinson here on Law Matters. 100.9 FM digital radio, I should say. This is the Law Matters program, and Jodie Hoffman with you till the top of the clock. I want to tell you about an event that's happening tonight in Perth. There is a roundtable happening on the Cultural and Ethnic Communities Roundtable, the repeal of Section 18 of the Racial Discrimination Act. Now, the Racial Discrimination Act has made a real contribution to harmony in multicultural Australia, and they're calling on people to unite to protect it. You're invited to join a roundtable discussion with leaders of WA's cultural and ethnic communities on the government's plan to repeal Section 18 of the Racial Discrimination Act, moderated by the Honourable Alana McTiernan and featuring the Honourable Michelle Rowlands, and she is the Shadow Minister for Citizenship and Multiculturalism. It's on tonight in Perth at 6 o'clock in the lower hall of the Hellenic Community Centre at 20 Parker Street, Northbridge. I know that our own CEO, Dennis Eggington, is also taking part in that roundtable tonight. So if you'd like more information or would like to head along to it, today being Wednesday the 2nd of April at 6 o'clock at the Hellenic Community Centre in Northbridge, please phone your RSVP through on 9272 3411. Going to come back in a moment and chat with the receptionist of the Aboriginal Legal Service head office. Boy, what a busy job. We'll find out what it entails right after this.
Hi, we're the Morrisons and we're from Lockridge and this is Noongar Radio.
No, oh, how cute was that from the Morrisons? Delaney, I was going to say Delaney Clinch, I'm going to say Delaney Atkinson. Welcome to Law Matters. How are you going?
I'm going good, thank you.
Well, we finally lured you out from behind the front desk at the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA head office, where you're the receptionist. Welcome to the program for the first time. How long have you been with the ALS now?
I've been there since October.
How are you enjoying it?
I do enjoy it, but it's really full on. It's really busy.
It is really busy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're no stranger to working in Aboriginal organisations.
No.
So you know that we're always extremely busy, no matter what organisation it is, I guess, and a lot of clients accessing the services, which is really good, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's good to see them following through with their legal issues.
Delaney, let's talk about you. Give us a bit of a background to who you are, where you're from, who's your mob?
Well, my mum's a Collard and my dad is a Clinch. I grew up in Sydney, but I'm back over here living. My kids love the beaches here, so we've moved back here to stay now.
So how long were you in Sydney?
I grew up there for the best part of 20 years.
Whereabouts?
Right in the city.
Yep.
Yeah, right around the city. Central Sydney, so yeah, know those streets pretty well.
Oh, it's a bit different to here, isn't it?
It's so quiet here and relaxed. Yeah,
I do remember like years ago going over to Sydney, and I got a bus to the town hall in the middle of town, and it was about 6 o'clock on a Friday night, and I got out and it was almost like you were being carried along by all the swarms of people walking. You just had so much less personal space around you when you were walking around town. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, that's Sydney.
So you said your kids love the beaches here. It's a totally different lifestyle, isn't it?
It is. It's so much more relaxed, and the kids can get on the train and they can go to the beach for the day, whereas in Sydney you kind of can't because there's so many people. And the beach is like 50 kilometres from where we're living. So, yeah, they really love it here. They don't want to leave.
Yeah, it's beautiful climate as well. And, I mean, Sydney's got a heap going for it, but there is certainly such a lovely quality of life, especially with a young family, hey?
Yeah, now that I'm older and my kids are growing up, so I need to something more cruisy, more relaxed. So back home to Perth it was.
So yeah. Something cruisy, more relaxed. So you came to work at the ALS?
Yeah, I thought that would be a good decision, but, yeah, I didn't realise it would be so busy.
Yeah. We should let people know that, you know, the ALS has 15 offices throughout Western Australia. The head office is extremely busy, and you're not only taking calls from, clients who are walking through the door or calls, but you're also, you know, dealing with calls coming in from the prisons and the courts, signing for documents that are served, a whole range of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, all those three things can happen all at once. So I've got police, phones, clients waiting. So I have to get through it really quick. You can't sit around and twiddle your thumbs.
Yeah, we got about 65 staff as well in at our head office. So you're manning the calls for everyone there as well. Did you have any sort of understanding of what the job would be like before you took it on?
No, because I was working at Yorgham before that, and that was really quiet environment. And I thought, oh, maybe if I applied for this job, it might be a little bit more fast, a bit more life into it. But it's just I don't have a minute to myself sometimes, which is good because it helps the day pass really fast. But other than that, it's just madness some days.
Oh, you mentioned that originally you're a clinch and a collard, two pretty big mobs.
Yeah, and because I've grown up in Sydney, I'm still meeting a lot of them that I've never met. So, yeah, it's sometimes it gets overwhelming because everybody knows who you are and you don't know this person and you don't want to seem rude or anything, you know, and they're calling out your name and you're like, I don't know that person. But you go over there and have a yarn with them and they say, oh, you know, your dad's my uncle and everything, so, yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful, isn't it? Because I know that, we're all on our own journey, aren't we? And we're always constantly meeting people. I don't think it matters who you speak to. That journey just seems to go on and on and on because there's so many family ties that people haven't met and everyone's in their own situation of whether they grew up in country or grew up in a different family or whatever. And it's a journey for us all, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially being a Noongar because you're always meeting new family members that you haven't seen since they were babies. Next time you see them, they're growing up, they've got their own babies. So it just keeps continuing and expanding.
Delaney, you know, as a mum, but also as a Noongar woman, what's important to you in life? I guess particularly as a mum in looking at what sort of future you want for your own family.
What's important for me is community. You know, being Noongar, it's hard enough. That's why I think community, you've got to stick together, you've got to support each other, and that way it builds up confidence and it just goes through. Everything, you know, when people see the Noongar community growing and going, just things developing and everything, it gives them a sense of pride in it and makes them, you know, say, hey, I'm proud to be a Noongar.
Most people who we've spoken with on the show who've worked at the Aboriginal Legal Service, whether in an admin role or some of our court officers or lawyers or anybody, says that, you know, it's only once you get to work in organisations like our own or like Yorgham or like Durbal that you actually get a really close-up picture of the diversity of our mob and some of the issues that are facing people on a daily basis and also the importance that it is that there are places like a legal service and a medical service without which a lot of our people might not access the services they need.
Yeah, look, the Noongar services that are provided here in Perth City for the Noongars, it's really good to see that they're using it because they're there for the community. Use them. And it's not just the legal service, it's like AMS, you know, Durbal, Yorgham. Those services provide things that the Noongar community needs and it's good to know that for Noongars to know that they're there for when they need them and just don't be ashamed, just go and use them. They're there to help us.
When you're not working, I know you've got a few kids, how do you spend your time? I mean, you're obviously very family focused.
When I'm not at work, as soon as I get home, I'm working still and it's just cooking, cleaning.
That's when the real work begins.
That's when the real work begins. But other than that, it's just me and my husband and we'll spend hours talking at night and if it's a work day the next day, yeah, we've got to look at the time and say, okay, pack it up, it's bedtime. Because we'll sit up for hours just talking, me and him over nothing. But that's how I relax and downtime. But yeah, as soon as I finish work, as soon as I get home, I'm still working.
What would you say to anyone who's thinking about maybe, you know, contacting a large organisation like the Aboriginal Legal Service and finding out if there's any employment and work there? Have you found it pretty diverse in terms of not only the work that's coming, you know, to the organisation every day, but also the diversity of people who work behind the doors?
Oh, look, my people I work with, they are absolutely wonderful. They're some of the nicest people I've ever met. And it's really good to see so many different nationalities working there. So clients come in and they'll see, I'll be the first person they see sitting up there, they see the Noongar face, and then they go through, and everyone else that works there is from all over. So, but they're all there to help the Noongar community. Yeah, it's good. It's good to see that everyone is, you know, spending their time there helping the Noongar community.
Yeah, it is. Hey, Delaney, it's been great to chat with you on Noongar Radio. Anyone you'd like to do a shout-out to and say g'day to?
Oh, just to my husband. He's listening.
Okay. And the kids, no doubt.
Oh, they'll be in school.
Delaney, thank you for coming in and having a yarn. And we'll get you across here before too long and have another chat, because I know you're interested in a whole range of things in terms of, you know, maybe a bit of, you know, finding out more about the media work. And it's your first time here to Noongar Radio, and it's great to be sitting in a station where you've got access to the community just like that, hey?
It is. It's kind of mind-blowing. But, yeah, it's a good experience.
Okay. Delaney Atkinson, thanks for your time. And keep up the fantastic work. It is a really busy job that you do as receptionists of the ALS head office. And I know that by all the staff there, you are greatly appreciated. So thanks for coming across and have a yarn.
Thank you for having me.
Delaney Atkinson here on Law Matters. You're listening to Law Matters here on Noongar Radio, digital radio 100.9 FM. Great to have your company here on Law Matters. Remember that this program is repeated on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock, and also after broadcast, all of our programs are put onto the Aboriginal Legal Service website, which is www.als.org.au. And we're just about out of time on our Law Matters program, but did want to just give another quick plug to the Cultural and Ethnic Communities Roundtable, and that is happening tonight at 6 o'clock in Perth. Discussion about the repeal of the Section 18 of the Racial Discrimination Act. Now, the Racial Discrimination Act has made a real contribution to harmony in multicultural Australia, and this roundtable will be talking about the importance of uniting to protect that. You're invited to head along there with leaders of WA's cultural and ethnic communities on the government's plan to repeal Section 18 of the Racial Discrimination Act. It's moderated by the Honourable Alana McTiernan and features the Honourable Michelle Rowlands, Shadow Minister for Citizenship and Multiculturalism, tonight, Wednesday the 2nd of April at 6 o'clock in the lower hall of the Hellenic Community Centre, 20 Parker Street in Northbridge. CEO of the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA, Dennis Eggington, is one of the other people, many people, taking part in this roundtable tonight as well. If you would like to go, please do register, RSVP on 9272 34 11, 9272 34 11. From myself, Jodie Hoffman, enjoy the rest of your day and evening, and week in fact, here on Noongar Radio, and we look forward to your company again in a fortnight's time on Law Matters.